much for joining us. This is Lady B along with SD. We are She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, the podcast where it is our goal to inspire hope. Today's topic, the answer is on the way. And Lady V and I are so glad you are here. You did not come across us by chance. We are positive you will hear something that may speak to your situation or that of someone you know. Right, Lady V?
That's right.
Go ahead, hit that subscribe button. Also, follow us on social media at We Are She Talks. And don't forget to share with your friends. To our regular listeners, thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
For your support. Head on over to our website, spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com, and let us know if our content has blessed you in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Take our short survey and or buy us a coffee. Again, we appreciate your support.
That's right.
So, Lady B, let's talk about the answer is on the way.
That's right. You know, we've entitled this episode, The Answers is on the Way, because, you know, many of us at some time or another have waited on a promise from God to be fulfilled or, you know, prayed about something and waited to receive the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And in these times, you know, it requires faith, it requires patience,
yep.
And it definitely requires trusting God. You know,
mm-hmm.
I found that sometimes the answer can come quickly, and in other times, you know, it can take some years,
mm-hmm.
you know, but whatever the case may be, God will answer.
Yes, he will.
So here's an example, you know, in scripture, you know, where God, he answered, the answer was on the way, and it happened quickly. It wasn't long when Abraham had to wait. But it starts out in Genesis chapter 22, and this was a time where Abraham's faith was tested. He was put to the test, and he was waiting to hear an answer from God, because, of course, you know, this test was a difficult thing. He didn't, you know why he was being asked to do it, but he did what God asked him to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts out Genesis chapter 22, okay, starting with verse 1. It says, and sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, Here I am. Then it says, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah.
Mm-hmm.
Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Now, first of all, let me take a halt. You know, to hear God say, look, take your only son, your mm-hmm. promised son, your dear son, and I want you to go sacrifice him. Because, you know, back in this time, you know, they sacrificed animals, you know, to atone for sins, you know, to God, you know. And here Abraham is being, it's a sacrifice, just a sacrifice to honor God.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is testing Abraham to see how much do you trust me? And this is what this basically is. God is not really going to kill Abraham's son. He's allow Abraham to kill his son. He's testing Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So he's seeing, okay, just how far his trust can go in him if he can ask him to do something that seems unbelievable. So verse 3-5 goes on to say, the next morning, Abraham, he gets up early. He saddles his donkey and took two of his servants with him, and along with his son Isaac, you know, he had the split wood for the burnt offering. He set out for the place God had directed him. And on the third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. You know, and Abraham told his two young servants, you know, stay here with the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the boy and I are going over here, you know, there to worship.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to come back to you. So I want you to know something, you know, as Abraham is going to this place with Isaac to obey God, you know, he's trusting God to keep an earlier promise that God made to Abraham that, you know, through Isaac, many descendants would come, kings would even come, nations would come through Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
So it did not make sense for God to ask him to sacrifice Isaac, but Abraham decide to trust God. Okay, he know what he's doing. I'm going to trust God and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. And Isaac was also a promised son that Abraham had to wait years to get.
That's right. That's right.
Years before Isaac even came to, from the time
mm-hmm.
God told him he would have Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was over 100, was 100, wasn't he, when Isaac finally did come. So this was a child that he had waited for years to have. Now he was being asked to sacrifice this child. That's the weight of it.
And so, you know, so even, you know, though the command to sacrifice Isaac, you know, didn't make sense, Abraham trusts God enough. When Isaac asked, he was like, you know, he was asking Abraham, he was like, Father, you know, we got the wood, but, you know, where's the sheep for the burnt offering? So Isaac is wondering, okay, I know the MO, how we sacrifice and worship. We sacrifice animals to worship God. And he's like, I don't see the animal, okay? It's just me and you and the wood and the fire, you know? So he's like, I don't see the animal, so where's the animal, you know? And so, you know, Abraham's response is interesting. He says, son, God will see to it that there's a sheep for the burnt offering. So Abraham has faith in God that even if what God asked of him did not make logical sense, Abraham trusted that God had a plan and the answer would come to the questions he had as to why am I doing this, you know? So, you know, as, you know, it goes on to where Abraham has tied Isaac up, laid him on the altar, picked up a knife, and he's getting ready to sacrifice his son. But then verse 11 says, at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him, called to Abraham from heaven. He said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham was like, yes, I'm listening. He was like, don't lay a hand on the boy. You know, don't touch him. You know, now I know how fearlessly you fear God. You didn't hesitate to place your son, your dear son, on the altar for me. And he was saying that, you know, in verse 13, it says, you know, Abraham looks up and he sees this ram caught and by its horns in the thicket and in the bush. And Abraham took the ram and he sacrificed it as the burnt offering instead of his son. So here again, the answer in this case, because Abraham, you know, like Esty said, had many weights in his life. He had many times that his faith was tried to see how much he trusted God. And sometimes the wait was long, but this particular time the wait was not long because as he was doing what God asked him to do, he was obeying God. God immediately had an answer to come before Abraham did any harm to his son. You know, God had the answer of, okay, I already got a ram here. That's what he's going to use, but I'm going to see if he's willing to do what I told him to do. And a lot of times, you know, God wants to know, will you obey him even in the midst of not understanding the instruction? Will you still do it anyway? Because if you can obey him and that, you know, he can trust you with much more. So, here's some points, you know, I thought in this, you know, where God answers quickly, he has the answer on the way quickly, you know, the points to take away, you know, because he provided the answer, you know, when Abraham didn't know, you know, didn't understand. And, you know, here's the point. You won't ever be able to figure out how God will achieve a thing. Okay. Our job is just to trust God and to keep our faith on the field, you know, so Abraham obviously show trust in God, even when he didn't understand this process. Here's another takeaway. You know, God always keeps his promises. You know, Abraham knew that the promise that came with Isaac's birth, that many nations would come from him, kings even, that, you know, he realized that. So, you know, he had to believe God beyond this unbelievable request that God had made of him to sacrifice Isaac. You know, he walked by faith and beyond what he could see or what he could understand. So, and then comes to another point. Obedience goes along way with God. You know, God expects obedience, you know, and Abraham obeyed the instruction of God and the answer showed up in the moment that it counted. So that also showed that God is always right on time. And I call it God time, G-O-D time. You know, he's always right on time. So we can wait for an answer to come. God could have promised us something in our spirits or in his word. We're waiting on a promise in his word to manifest. And, you know, sometimes we have, you know, we could get impatient, but one of the things we have to realize that God always keeps his promises. So no matter when it takes place, it's always going to be the right time is when God is involved. It's always going to be the right time. So that leads us to another example, when it takes years. And we know about that, you know, when you're waiting on God to do something or you're praying about something and you're waiting and you're reading your Bible and you're just like, God, okay, I'm trusting, I'm meditating on your promises, but I'm still waiting and years are passing. So here's another example of that. In Genesis chapters 39 through 41, here we have Joseph's story. Joseph is waiting on an answer. Of course, you know, the backstory, Joseph is one of Israel's favorite sons because he came by Rachel. Mm-hmm. Rachel was his mother. Mother. So, you know, and his brothers were by different maidservants and also by Rachel's sister, Leah. Mm-hmm. And they were all jealous of Joseph because they knew he was that favorite son because Rachel was that favorite wife of Jacob who became Israel. Mm-hmm. Okay, so of course, you know, the backstory again before chapters 30, you know, 39 through 41 is Joseph ends up, his brothers ends up throwing him in a pit, selling him to these slave owners, telling his father he was dead. Okay, so fast forward to Genesis 39, where Joseph has just been sold by the Ishmaelites to an Egyptian named Potiphar. And okay, so he's working as a slave in his home. You know, Joseph is this handsome man, young man, mm-hmm. and he's had a promise from God early on in his life by some dreams that God showed him that he will be in a place of power one day, so much so that his family will be bowing down to him, okay? Mm-hmm. And of course, his brothers didn't like that when he shared that little tidbit of dream with them, you know? And so here we have...
Sidebar. Uh-huh. Sometimes when God gives you a promise, mm-hmm. you can't tell everybody.
You can't tell everybody. Exactly. Exactly. Because everybody's not going to understand it. It's not going to make sense. So, but Joseph held on to it. Mm-hmm. So here we are, Genesis 39, where Joseph is just sold to Potiphar after his brothers have sold him into slavery. And then the slave drivers, the Ishmaelites, they sell him to Potiphar and he's working as a slave in Potiphar's home. So everything is going well. Everything Joseph put his hand to is prospering. God is in it. And Potiphar sees that. And so pretty much, you know, Potiphar had put Joseph in control of everything concerning his household. You know, he pretty much trusted Joseph because he was upright man. You know, he saw that the Lord was with him. And, you know, so Joseph has his ample access to, you know, what the household. Mm-hmm. But one thing that he did not have access to was Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife was seeing, you know, she was lustful. She was seeing that Joseph was handsome and he was a good guy and everything. And she wanted him to want her. She wanted to lay down with him. But Joseph was not having it. He was like, no, I'm entrusted by your husband to take care of his household. Mm-hmm. I am not going against God. I'm not mm-hmm. going against him. That is not right. And I'm not doing it. And mm-hmm. she did not want to take no for an answer. So, you know, she basically attacks him one day. And to break away from her, he had to leave his coat with her. And then she lies on him. And he gets thrown in prison, you know, because, you know, her husband thinks that Joseph actually attacked her, which he didn't. He was getting away from her mm-hmm. because he knew she was nothing but trouble. Mm-hmm. But she made it seem like Joseph had attacked her. He gets thrown into prison through no fault of his own. And so, you know, here we have, you know, Joseph in prison. Here in prison, he gets favor from the warden. So now he's put in charge of all the prisoners, okay? Because mm-hmm. God is with him. So Joseph's still carrying the promise of him being this high a position place at some point in his life mm-hmm. and it's taken some years mm-hmm. and he's, you know, he's in this prison. And by Genesis chapter 40, Joseph encounters two of Pharaoh's servers, a chief cupbearer and a chief baker. You know, both somehow they angered the Pharaoh and they were both tossed into custody. They were put under Joseph's care in the prison. So here we have these two men, you know, they're looking all sad and down, you know, they have upset the king. Mm-hmm. And so they don't know what their fate is next. And Joseph is asking them, you know, why they're so sad. And, you know, and they both of the men admitted to having some dreams that night. And they needed an interpreter to find out, you know, a dream interpreter to find out what their dreams meant. Because they had two separate different dreams. Mm-hmm. And one dream of the cup. Bearer was a positive dream, which let him know he was going to get restored back to his job. Mm-hmm. Wherein the baker's dream was that he was going to be killed. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you know, they didn't know that because they weren't dream interpreters. And Joseph let them know that, you know, interpretations of dreams, they come from God. You know, mm-hmm. you can't just get that from anybody. It comes from God. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, but tell me your dream. Because, you know, Joseph knew he could hear from God. So, mm-hmm. you know, he was like, so tell me your dream. And so when they both, each the cupbearer and the baker, told Joseph their dreams, then Joseph interprets their dreams. But pay attention to this, you know, when God reveals to Joseph as he's hearing their dreams and Joseph begins to interpret, he tells the cupbearer, he said, remember me mm-hmm. when things are going well with you again. Mm-hmm. Tell Pharaoh about me and get me out of this place. He said, I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. Mm-hmm. And since I've been here, I've done nothing to deserve to be put in this hole. Done nothing to deserve being in this prison. He was like, so let the Pharaoh know when you get, you know, so he basically prophesied him, you coming out of this, as he was mm-hmm. interpreting the dream by God giving him the interpretation. Mm-hmm. He was like, now remember me, remember that I told you this, you know. Uh-huh. And but the problem is, you know, as Joseph interpreted, you know, the cupbearer was restored back to his position as chief cupbearer to the king, and the baker was killed, and the cupbearer unfortunately forgot about Joseph. Mm-hmm. So here we have Joseph still waiting. Mm-hmm. Genesis 40:41. It says 2 years passed. Okay. Uh-huh. Now Pharaoh has a dream.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the cupbearer. He's around along with all the loyal subjects are around. And Pharaoh is troubled because he has this dream and he don't know what it means. So mm-hmm. he calls for the magicians and the sages, which were wise men of Egypt. And none of them could interpret the dream. They didn't mm-hmm. know what it meant. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden the cupbearer said, I just now remember something. I am sorry. He said, I should have told you this a long ago. So the cupbearer remembers Joseph. And I believe God had a hand in him remembering Joseph mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. it had to be the right timing.
Yeah.
Two mm-hmm. years had passed. Mm-hmm. And he remembered because God wanted him to remember at that precise timing. Yeah. Again, mm-hmm. the answer was on the way. So the cupbearer said to the Pharaoh, you know, it was at once, you know, when you got angry with us, you know, you locked me in the baker in the house of the captain of the guard. And, you know, and that same night we both had dreams and we didn't know his meaning. And it just happened to be a young Hebrew slave there with us, you know, and he belonged to the captain of the guard. He was taking care of us. He was attending to us. And he told us our dreams. He interpreted our dreams separately. He said, and they turned out just as he said. Mm-hmm. And so here the Pharaoh was like, okay. Somebody get me Joseph. Mm-hmm. Bring me that Hebrew. I need him to interpret my dream. I need something mm-hmm. to say. And then, you know, what was phenomenal about God, because God used the cupbearer being thrown into the jail with Joseph in the first place, and then Joseph was the one that was put over the cupbearer mm-hmm. and the chief baker to attend to them, mm-hmm. you know, because they were the fancy prisoners because they came from the king's palace, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, it was all set in place. It was all a part of the answer that would reveal Joseph's dreams being come to pass mm-hmm. and him waiting on God to get me out of this hole, get me out of this prison. Mm-hmm. I didn't deserve being kidnapped, thrown in prison, you know, wrongfully accused and all of this. Mm-hmm. So, here we have Joseph before Pharaoh after they clean him up, dressed him up, and all of that stuff. And he interprets the Pharaoh's dream. Then he lets the Pharaoh know, this is coming from God. This ain't coming from me. Mm-hmm. And he let him know, this is how you got to do it. A, B, C, and D. So God was even giving Joseph the instructions of how to, while the land had plenty, to store up the grain, and so that when the land was in famine, that, you know, Egypt would have all of the grain mm-hmm. and then all the other lands would have to come to them to pay for the grain, because they would be in famine, they wouldn't have any food, but Egypt would have plenty, all because God gave Joseph specific instructions mm-hmm. on how to do this. Mm-hmm. So that also showed the Pharaoh that Joseph had insight from God mm-hmm. with managerial skills.
Yeah.
So therefore the Pharaoh puts Joseph in a high honor, second in command to him, takes off his signet ring, gives it to Joseph, and like, y'all listen to him, mm-hmm. whatever he tell you to do, do it. So now Joseph's dream that God had gave him when he was younger has now come to pass. Mm-hmm. He is now in a place of high authority.
Right.
And later on, as the in Genesis, it goes on, the chapters goes on further, God does send his brothers and he does get united with his family. They have to come because famine is in their land. So that was in a sense, they were bowing down and they had to come to him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Joseph's life was turned around. He got married to the Potiphar's daughter mm-hmm. and had two sons. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, happy that God prospered him in a land of sorrow, because that land was sorrow for him because it was taken by slave owners, sold by his brothers, mm-hmm. put in a land, foreign land, as a young boy, and had to be there for some years before he was restored to that place of power that God has showed him that he would be positioned at.
And let's think about how this must have felt to him,
mm-hmm.
knowing that first,
mm-hmm.
your brothers hate you so much
mm-hmm.
that they sold you
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're doing, you're going about your life and you're thinking,
mm-hmm.
how is this, why is this happening to me?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you remember the dream God showed
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one day mm-hmm. they would bow to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that he would be in a high place of position.
In a high place of authority.
Authority, yes. Mm-hmm. And the thing with that is, Joseph carried that, those two dreams he had, he carried that with him while he was in those rough places, in mm-hmm. that prison, you know. He carried that with him because he just believed God.
Yeah.
And because he believed God, God already had a plan to get him out of that pit, out of that prison, and put him in that place of high authority, like he had showed him, like he had promised him
mm-hmm.
that was what he was going to do. And a lot of times, the answer that we are waiting on God to bring, it's going to take some time and we're not understanding. But let's look at all the things that had to be put in place here. Mm-hmm. First, he had to be sold into slavery to get to the place of purpose that God right. was going to exalt him at.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had to be put in the Potiphar's house in order to be thrown into the jail when the cupbearer and the baker would be put in there so he could interpret their dream. So the cupbearer could go back and tell the Pharaoh when he had a dream that needed mm-hmm. interpreted. This man know what he talking about. He hear from
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that was a part of God's answer to Joseph's promise mm-hmm. that he would be in a place of high authority.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we don't see the rough times as being part of God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the God is putting it on us. He sees what's going to happen. And he uses that for our good.
Yes.
And so when we are going through rough times and we are believing God for something and we are standing on our faith in Jesus, we're looking to Jesus, we're not focusing on the situation. And then sometimes we are focusing on the situation. Say, God, I thought you were going to do this and mm-hmm. it ain't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
But God is saying, I am bringing, the answer is always going to be on the way when
yes.
it has to do with me, because I'm faithful to reveal what I have promised. I'm
mm-hmm.
faithful to bring it to pass. God is the great I am. So he's always now.
Yes.
Okay. So he's never, he can look in the past. He can look at present. He can look at the future. He's in eternity. So he's not bound by time.
Right.
So he can see how to bring events together that looks like just mess to us, and
mm-hmm.
he could turn it around to something beautiful. Because here was Joseph. He was taken out of a prison and placed into high authority over the whole country of Egypt.
Yeah.
And this was not something he probably would have seen when he was in that pit, when his brothers threw him in that pit and then sold him to a slave on. When he was walking with the other slaves, being, you know, getting ready to get
mm-hmm.
sold or auctioned off, he won't looking at his life as this don't, you know, this look like what God, this definitely look like I'm on the trail what God is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't see it.
Right.
Because it was blocked by the focus of what was happening, which a lot of times that's what we do. We are blocked by what we see in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
But if we hold on to the dream, we
mm-hmm.
hold on to the promise like Joseph did,
mm-hmm.
even though it doesn't make sense what's happening around us, God can and will fulfill what he has promised.
That's right.
And like I said, every point of Joseph's life that seemed like a big mess, seemed like a sorrow,
mm-hmm.
God was using every bit of that to place him and position him to get to that place of exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Joseph couldn't see it, but you know, he still held on to that God was faithful.
That's right.
That's and that's
right.
what we have to do. We have to hold on to what God is faithful. So some our takeaways from this can be to remember, one, God sees you.
That's
he
right.
knows where you are, what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the circumstance. He knows the people that he need to put in place to take you to that place where he's promised he's going to take you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the people to put in place that if he says, I'm going to get you the money for you to build this church or build this facility, build this clinic or whatever, he's got the people that he's going to position in place to meet you at the right time or to connect you with the right person that can connect you to that person.
Mm-hmm.
He knows all of that. If you're waiting on a spouse, waiting on God to bring you a spouse, he knows the right person for you. He knows who, I mean, not that there aren't, not that there are only one, but
mm-hmm.
there are, it could be a number of people that he could see have the good heart for right man, for that right woman. You know, he knows who would match with who. He knows the heart. So if you're waiting on God even for that, you know, just know that he knows how to put and position people into place so
mm-hmm.
that you could come across each other's path and it could all come together as, you know, according to his will and what he has promised you. If you believe in him for a spouse, you know, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll
That's
make him a
said.
Helper suitable suitable for him. So that's a promise mm-hmm. in God's word. And, you know, he also said two is better than one. He's good at saying, you know, it works well when you got your husband and a wife and they brought together by joined together by God, because yeah. then it is done in accordance to God's will and his plan and his timing and mm-hmm. his purpose. Mm-hmm. So here we go. The next point, God hears you. Mm-hmm. No cry that you have, no prayer that you have, does God not hear.
That's right.
Nothing, no desire in your heart, does God not know about. Nothing mm-hmm. that's bothering you, does God not know about. He hears it all. He knows it all. Mm-hmm. If when Cain in Genesis, when Cain killed his brother Abel, if Abel's blood could cry out mm-hmm. to God from after Abel was killed, what makes you think that what's on the inside of you is not crying out to God from your heart mm-hmm. when he's looking at the hearts of man?
That's right.
You know, so he's listening. He's hearing us. He knows what matters to us, and he knows what will fall in line with his purpose for our lives if we will but trust him.
That's right.
And we have to be just like Abraham, just like Joseph. Trust God. Not mm-hmm. trust our knowledge.
That's right.
But just trust God. And then, you know, I have another point here is, most importantly, we have to remember God answers, okay?
Yes.
We have to trust God to answer. We have to remember, not only does he hear us, not only does he see us, hear us, but he answers.
Yes.
Okay? So you're not going unnoticed. You're not going ignored, even if it seems like it's taken some years for that thing to come to pass. Just trust and know mm-hmm. that God can and will bring to pass according to his will.
Mm-hmm. I know, Joseph Prince gave an excellent example about, you know, when you're faced with all different types of problems and troubles mm-hmm. and stuff coming at you on every side.
Mm-hmm.
He said, take a dime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said, take that dime and you put it close to your eye, mm-hmm. as close as you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now that dime looks huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's representation yeah. of a problem.
Yes, yes.
When you're staring at the problem, mm-hmm. you're focusing on
yes,
the problem.
Yes, exactly.
He said, but then take the dime and put it as far away from you as you can.
Mm-hmm.
It gets smaller and mm-hmm. smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So that means take your focus off of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The troubles you're going through, mm-hmm. take your focus off of them and put your focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
one who can fix it. Oh,
that's right. No matter what it is.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He can fix it. But what he wants from us mm-hmm. is for us to trust him.
Have
and trust him
trust
when
him.
He says he'll take what the enemy mm-hmm. means for your bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the enemy, your stuff is coming at you from mm-hmm, all sides and you mm-hmm. feel like you're being attacked
mm-hmm.
on every level.
Mm-hmm. Somebody lying on you
yes.
that puts you out or puts you in jail. You in jail for something you didn't do.
That's right.
Put your trust in God.
That's right.
Say, God, you know, exonerate me. Show forth that, you know, I didn't do this thing. It's mm-hmm. been many a prison. It's been let out of prison for, you know, after years of serving time for something they didn't do. But a lot of them, I appreciate when I hear, you know, those that say they trusted God.
Yes.
And God brought them out. Because the thing of it is, just like Joseph was thrown in prison for something he did not do.
That's
or
right.
he was accused of. He also was released by God mm-hmm. at the right time. And God mm-hmm. had a plan to get him out of there.
That's right.
You know, while he was in there, he was ministering to those that was there, because people saw in the jail saw that he got thrown in there just like the rest of them, but then he was put over stuff.
That's right.
Why? Because the Lord was with him, and mm-hmm. that warden saw that God was with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't be nothing but a light shine on him that this is, God is with this young man.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, why is he in here in the first place?
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
But the thing we have to remember, like you said about the dime example, we have to remember that our problems is like a grain of sand on a seashore, on a beach.
That's right.
It's so many grains of sand on the beach.
Mm-hmm, that's
you
good.
You can't count or fathom how many is there.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is, when we compare our problem as a grain of sand to God, which is the whole, you know, vast beyond what we could see,
mm-hmm.
we know that our problem is nothing for God.
Mm-hmm.
All the problems, I could say all the grains of sand on the beach, on the seashore, it could be problems of everybody on this earth. It could
mm-hmm.
represent problems,
mm-hmm.
but it's still nothing for God.
Mm-mm.
Because if you put your trust in God, God will show you that he is faithful
mm-hmm.
to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask for or think.
That's right.
But we have to trust in the Lord Jesus, put our faith in him,
mm-hmm.
focus on Jesus, not on the problem,
That's
and know
right.
that God hears us, he sees us, and mm-hmm. he will answer us.
Mm-hmm. And please do not forget, there is an adversary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he wants you to blame God for mm-hmm. stuff happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God does not put bad on you.
Mm-hmm.
But right. he will take that bad and turn it around for
mm-hmm.
your good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because he can see our beginning. He knows our beginning because he gave it to us.
Mm-hmm.
He knows our in-between. He knows our ending. So he knows all the problems that are going to come up. He knows every issue that we're going to have. He
mm-hmm.
knows every person that's going to try to cause problems for us.
Mm-hmm.
He knows all the jealousy people will bring about to try to cause problems for us, to try to knock us off our path.
Mm-hmm.
But all they're doing is helping us along the way.
That's
and
right.
we have to look at it like that. Don't look at it like, you know, so-and-so got away with this because they were being, you know, hateful. They lied on me. They got away. No, 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 no. They are helping move you along. Yeah, they're stepping stones because God sees what they're doing and he has already a way, an answer on the way to work it out.
That's right.
And bring you out no matter what it is. But if you would just put all your thinking and your logic in a bucket, close that bucket up with a top
mm-hmm.
and say, God, you do you.
Yep.
Let God do him. Let God do what he can do. And he can't fail. He can do the impossible. We've seen it done in our
mm-hmm.
own lives. God can do the impossible. I remember when I worked at the salon and there was this, receptionist that also ran the cash register. And she was in control of when people left tips for us, whether or not we got our tips or not.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't like me just because I believed in God and I talked about the Lord, and she just didn't like me for that reason only.
Mm-hmm.
So she would steal my tips. And then she ended up, every night that I would work, that I would close the salon out, she would, if she got, she got off at 5, she would make sure that when the shift change of registers, she would steal money out the nights that I worked because she knew it would look like I was stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And God saw all of this.
Mm-hmm.
God saw all of this. She would try to make life impossible for me at the salon. And what ended up happening was I ended up leaving. She ended up getting taken out in handcuffs and thrown in jail for embezzlement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, it took a little time. It took about a month.
Mm-hmm.
But it also exonerated me
mm-hmm.
Because it showed that I wasn't the one that was doing this. She was the one that was stealing. She
mm-hmm.
was the one that was being a thief. But she was trying to plant that on me because
mm-hmm.
she didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
But my exit, you know, might have seemed like I had lost because I had to leave a job because of what she was doing. I saw I was being set up.
Mm-hmm.
But God also saw it, and that did not take me off my path. It put me on my path
mm-hmm.
because it moved me to the next thing God wanted me to do.
Right.
But for her, it positioned her right where she belonged, in jail.
Yeah.
You know, so it does not pay for people to do people wrong, because some way, somewhere down the line, it's going to come back around.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come back around, whether you know which way or what, it will come back around, because whatever seed you sow in this life, it will return in a harvest.
Yes.
You determine what that harvest is going to be on
mm-hmm.
how you treat people.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is, just like with me, my answer came. I was exonerated. It was shown who the true thief was,
mm-hmm.
that it was her. And God can do the same thing for
mm-hmm.
you. You know, no matter what the situation is, whatever you believe in God for, just trust God. Focus on him, his faithfulness, and how great he is. And just know he will honor your belief, your faith, and your trust in him. He will honor it. And the answer is on the way. Just hold on.
That's right.
It's coming. It's coming.
That's right.
So as we close out,
mm-hmm.
we're just going to say a prayer in agreement for all that are listening. Because we have the belief that whoever listens throughout the entire episode, God has positioned them to hear a word for them.
Yes.
It's tailor-made just for them. And we don't take that lightly. We believe that what God has us doing, when we're talking about different topics in life, we know he's involved in everything if you allow him to be
yes.
involved in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants people to know that. You know, that's why when we talk about a topic, we are going to talk about the scripture. We're going to talk about God, because we know God is everything to us.
Yes.
And we know without him, we could not make it. And we want people to know how good God is.
Yes.
You know, because as he said, a lot of people blame God for bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But just like what all the bad things that happened with Joseph, God didn't have a hand in it, but he used it
yes.
to put him to a place of purpose and
that's
for his
right.
good. So we want to pray for all those that are listening, that are waiting on God for an answer about something or a situation to change, just know that God has heard you. He sees you. Mm-hmm. And we believe that he's already got the answer on the way. So we're going to come together right now in prayer and belief for you that God has that answer on the way and that you will see it come to pass. And we're hoping that we'll hear from you testimonies. Send us a message. Let us know, you know, go to our website and, you know, spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com and let us know what God has done for you. Because we believe we're going to hear testimonies back about what God has done. So let's go to God in prayer. Yes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for all the hearers, God. Mm-hmm. We thank you. You've given them ears to hear your voice through us, God, and hearts to obey you, God, and trust you. God, on today, we thank you, God, that for every listener, we pray, God, that they will trust you in everything, God, that they will seek you, God, seek your voice, get into your word and see the promises that you have laid out for them.
Yes.
We thank you that you are good and awesome, God. You are a loving God and you love every person that is under the sound of my voice.
Yes.
And we thank you, God, that we believe that you're pouring out blessings in their lives right now as we speak. We're believing for your best, God, to manifest in their lives. So for whatever answer they're waiting on, God, we thank you that you are a prayer answering God. And we thank you that you are a God of and suddenly.
Yes.
And you are a God of more than enough.
Yes.
So on today, we thank you, God, for every blessing and every favor you have for whoever is listening, God. We pray that they'll be encouraged and that they will keep their faith on the field and look to you for all things. And God, we just pronounce a blessing on them that now, God, that you, the God of all peace, all grace, will bless them and keep them, that you will smile on them, God, and gift them and look to them, God, with your full face on them and make them prosper, God. In the name of Jesus, we believe it is so. Amen. So we thank you for listening. We pray blessings upon you. We pray you will tune in to us again and hear another word that is tailor-made just for you. Grace and peace to you. Jesus is Lord.
If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe so that you can stay plugged in into another hope-filled discussion. For this week's show notes, go to spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com/S2E6. While you're there, follow and like us on social media. Sign up for my SD's list of 10 must-read books for positive outlook, spiritual enlightenment, and brain health. Check out Lady V's weekly devotional episodes. And if you like merch with positive messaging, go on over to our online store. Join us next time on She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, where we are letting our light shine through faith, hope, and love.